the Savior.
I don't wanna love nobody but you. I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Yes.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
103.2
Sydney's Hope.
Towards Understanding with Clayton Bielan.
This is Towards Understanding. G'day, my name is Clayton Bielan, and wherever you might be listening around Australia and New Zealand, it is so good to have your company as we get to hear some remarkable stories. You see, the whole idea of this program is to get deep on a story, to find out about what's going on, and for each of us, as we are listening in our world, wherever we are right now, to be heading towards a better understanding of life. Maybe it's an understanding of how we need to live in life. Maybe it's a better understanding of God's role in our world. Maybe it's a better understanding of someone else's perspective. Whatever it might be, that's the aim. And we do that through just hearing some great stories. Coming up today, in about an hour or so's time, Andrew Tierney will be joining us and having a conversation around not just being a member of Human Nature, one of the most successful vocal bands of all time, but also this new incredible work that he's been doing over the past few years with Finding Faith, talking about his Christian faith and now doing it in song as well. That's on the way. Plus, today we're going to be hearing from one of the most remarkable ladies that you will ever come across. Her name is Lynn Wake. She's the author of the devotional Waiting Well with Jesus. And the idea of this is all around having a loss, having some sort of grief. We all face this in some way, shape or form. And Lynn has had a tragedy that she's gone through, but has now spent time and is able to say, well, as I've chatted to other people, as I've taken different stories from others, there are perhaps some better ways to wait on God through those tough, deep losses in life. We'll be hearing her story and some of that insight on the way next here on Towards Understanding.
Eagle Outdoors, campus specialists, give back to the community through local and international charities and foundations. So choose program sponsor Eagle Outdoors first. Discover Australia in a blue water camper perfect for off-roading with family. For on-road luxury, let the adventure begin in an ultimate camper. No trip is complete without Didgeridoo's quality jackets, insulated bags and more, designed to last a lifetime. See the range at eagleoutdoors.com.au.
Sydney's
Hope 1032.
Need a skip bin delivered on time and on budget? Call Austip Recycling. We have a range of skip bins available for immediate delivery, from infrastructure projects to household cleanups. If you need it, we've got it ready to go. Austip, delivering is our promise. Recycling is our passion. That's why we're managing waste today for a cleaner tomorrow. Austip Recycling. Fast skip bin delivery at the best price. Book online now at austiprecycling.com.au. Station sponsor.
A sponsorship on Hope 103.2 is a great way to promote your product or service, but we're biased, so perhaps it'd be better to hear it from one of our sponsors. Here's Pete from 1-800-SHUTTERS.
People do hear the sponsorship and respond. I get feedback all the time from listeners. I've been parked at traffic lights only to hear my catchphrase from the car beside me. Ooh, he's a good boy.
Find out how you can get similar results. Contact our sponsorship team today. Visit hope1032.com.au.
Hope 1032.
I know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down, even your soul. I know a place where mercy flows. Take the stains, make you whiter than snow. Like a tide, it is rising. From dusty roads into paradise, all of
Hope 1032.
This is Towards Understanding. You're with Clayton Bjellin, and it is wonderful to have a conversation with the lady who has just put out this new book. It's a 52-week devotional journal called Waiting Well with Jesus, Strength for the Journey Through Heartbreak to Hope. Linda Wake joins us in the studio. G'day, Linda.
How are you, Clayton?
I'm doing well. It's a bit weird for me to call you Linda, though, because we've known each other for a little while, and I've always just known you as Lynn.
That's
so
right.
Is it okay if I just sort of slip into Lynn and chat that way as well?
Absolutely. My friends all call me Lynn.
Excellent.
So, thank
you. Now, Lynn, we have chatted, and we've chatted many years ago about a part of the story we want to talk about today, but there might be many people who don't know of your story, so I'd like to talk into that. Essentially, the summary of this book is that it's a book for those who are going through tough times, going through some sort of grief, perhaps might be the best frame for it, and for those who maybe aren't going through it at the moment, but we all need to prepare for some sort of grief in life.
That's
what occurs. Is that how you've looked at the book, and you've looked at how this is sort of a journal and a book altogether? Is that the framing you've had?
That's right. Well, for me, this is sort of the resource that I wanted to have when our world sort of came crashing in, Clayton. So, you know some of the story? I'll share a little bit of that.
Please, let's share some of that story, if you would.
So, you know, my husband David and I joined Wycliffe Bible Translators 26 years ago now, and halfway through that time in ministry, we had a situation with our beautiful teenage daughter Bethany. We just returned not long before that from serving in Papua New Guinea, which she loved, and our other children, James, her older brother, and Rachel and Nicole, they enjoyed that time there. We came back to live in Melbourne, and roughly a year after that, Bethany started to get some really strange symptoms. The doctors thought at first it was a stroke or something of that nature, and when she was at the children's hospital, and when they showed us the MRI, I knew then there was something much more serious. It took another 6 weeks after that, though, to diagnose. What they said was a one in a million chance that it would be this very rare terminal cancer, brain cancer. And it was. We always said she was that one in a million, and that one in a million turned out very differently than what we thought. But, you know, Clayton, when she was diagnosed, by that time she'd lost the complete use of the left side of her body and half of her vision, and she was still able to talk at that point, and she rose up in faith and said, you know, even these words over my life, they don't have the authority that Jesus does. He's the ultimate authority. He can heal me if he wants to. He can take me to be with him. She just had this incredible faith and acceptance that really marked the rest of the year that she was with us. You know, it was a slow deterioration and decline, and it was horrific watching on. But at the same time, she rose up with faith, hope and love in Jesus, and she'd actually just shone from the inside out. It was beautiful to see.
Yeah.
It was a heartbreakingly beautiful journey.
Yeah. I never got to meet Bethany, and yet there is the impact that she has had permeates from you, as we've talked over the years, but also through many other people that I know who knew her, and her faith as a teen was remarkable. And, you know, we understand that there's people who are listening who would say, well, I'm a believer in Jesus, and there's some who say, well, I'm nowhere near that right now. But for her, this was something that was real, it was alive, and as you said, it was guiding her. And for many years to come, many people were quite moved by her faith through that, and still even to this day.
Well, that's right. And she, in her that declaration of faith, she sort of said, well, you know, she's thinking it through, and she's thinking, this is a terrible thing to happen, but if I've got Jesus, I've got everything, you know, and this is the time I've got to decide if what he says is true. Is it true or not? And I'm going to take him at his word, and if it's true, I have everything, you know. And we were sitting there with our mouths open, really, tears streaming down our eyes. This couldn't possibly be happening, and yet this faith rose up in her. That was planted in her as a little child, yes, but it's like she ran ahead of us then, of the family, and said, okay, this is the way we're going to do a terminal cancer diagnosis. She decided to have some treatment, which was very harsh, But she wanted to live as long as she could and have hope in this life still. But she got to the point where she said, "Mum and Dad, just you can stop praying for my healing now, because I actually just want to be with Jesus now. I just long to be with him." And that was the lesson I think that I've taken, or many lessons from her life, but one in particular is just her longing to be with Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of set the scene, I suppose, for this new devotional book.
Yeah. Mm. How old was Bethany when she passed?
She was just shy of her 16th birthday.
Yeah.
So right now, you know, she's got friends who are getting married and having babies, and you know some of them, and it's bittersweet. It's hard to see that on one hand, but on the other hand, I know she just loved those friends and would rejoice totally with where they are in life now.
Yeah. And certainly the impact of Bethany's story, you know, there was massive campaigns around people fundraising and all sorts of things that change people's lives around the world through, that have had ongoing impacts, not just in the individuals but in the collective sense
that's
has occurred as well. Let's talk about what has led down to this, because that was, I suppose, the starting point for you to be able to say, well, how do I start having greater conversations? Now, obviously, that wasn't the first thing that happened, you know, you've had to go through a lot of grief and ups and downs and all of that. And as you said, even now, you know, somebody's got a new baby, and there's joy and there's grief, and it's never going to not be the case. One of the things you did talk about in this book a bit, and it's mentioned a few times, is that there's already a part of you in the grave, part of your heart's there with Bethany, and that will never change. But you had this desire to say, let's talk about grief generally, as we said. I might say something, and then you can correct me if I'm wrong here, and then we'll work off that. I think if we were to talk about all sorts of grief, and you've tried to talk about all that in this book too, that if we were to rank the grief on a scale, I would imagine losing a child would have to be probably the harshest grief that there is. And so I feel like because you have experienced that, you're allowed to incorporate all the other sorts of grief and say, hey, these are something worthwhile and this is something we should deal with. Now, again, you probably want to say that, but do you understand the point of what I'm trying to make there?
I think so. I think in the book there are 52 different stories of all kinds of losses. Several of them have the loss of a child, but they're all, as you say, you can't rank it, but there's certain types, I suppose, that just really change everything, you know, about your life and what you're thinking, and they're real, those real watershed moments where you really have to examine, well, what is life about and what is important. And you feel quite shattered. You know, there is that. I remember in the kitchen one day when Bethany was particularly sick one day, and just thought, I think this is what heartbreak feels like, you know. And so there needed to be healing, you know, come from that. And from that came, you know, a crying out to God. Well, what do I do now? How do I live? Because I did believe his promises that Bethany was with him, and that we would be reunited one day, not just reunited, but be living with him and her forever.
Yeah.
All our loved ones that have gone before us who are in Christ. What an amazing promise and hope. But then how to, you know, I was in my 40s then, and I thought, well, I may live another 50 years in this life. I can't imagine how I can just even get up tomorrow. And that's been the journey of the healing, just a step at a time. And just asking God, well, how do I live today? How do I live in this moment? Believing you've said you're with me and that there's this incredible future ahead. But, like, what do I do now? How do I actually be a mum to my other kids and a good wife and daughter and friend and all those other relationships?
We want to talk about some of the stories here in a moment. But I just want to pick up on one thing you said there when you said this, that's part of the healing. What does healing look like after a grief of losing a child? What do you mean when you say that?
That's a good question. I think to me now my heart's got like scars rather than sort of that open, that first year, Clayton. I think there's something very raw about the first year of grief. The whole sense of the world just spinning while you just want it to stop, and people talking to you and you're looking at them thinking you just want to scream. Can you even understand what I've just lost? What's just happened? And so that first year with all the anniversaries and everything, the first birthdays, the first Christmas, the first Mother's Day, the anniversary of the diagnosis, every anniversary is like a raw scraping wound on that heart. So to me, that healing has come just, I guess, layer by layer, bit by bit, as it does in our bodies. It sort of had to come from the inside out, where God's had to just minister, you know, just every tear shed, every moan, every cry, just to comfort me in that.
Yeah.
I was afraid in that first year too that I would never get even past those initial, the agony of that loss.
Yes.
But that's the healing, I think, for me. It's I know now that if a wave of grief hits, I can actually sort of dive under that wave and hold my breath. No, God is holding me, and I will emerge again, and I'll be okay. That to me is the sense of healing, rather than that rawness, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And I think as we as you experience that, and as you said, it comes. It's never a completed element of it.
That's right.
You talked about this idea of sort of from the inside out, and you talked about God ministering to you.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose I'm also now it's for those, as we said, who may be listening who don't have a faith, or mm-hmm. those who can't quite grapple with that.
Mm-hmm.
If we say God's good and He allows that to happen and all those sorts of things, but you know, rather than necessarily talk about the whole issue of why does God allow suffering in the world, I think that's a whole different conversation. I'm sure we could still have plenty of conversations around that. I want to actually talk about that idea of what you said of how does God do some healing in you around that? What do you mean by that? And how does that actually happen?
Mm-hmm.
What's the connection you have with God in that way?
Looking at the Psalms actually has helped me a lot, because I think Psalm 27, Psalm 84, there's many that I've actually focused in on the Psalms and the devotional too, because that's all I could read for a long time, those parts of the Bible, because it just seemed that God was giving the permission to express the full human, you know, scale of emotion there. There is definitely Psalms calling out, "Where are you, God? You know, have you forsaken me? Where are you? Why has this happened?" And I called those things out. I'd never done that before, even in other losses I've experienced, of my brother and some different things. You know, there was that definitely a sense of loss and pain, but this one seemed to sort of just, you know, wrench the heart out and call out to God in that way. And it was okay to do that, you know, that I saw through the Psalms that it was okay to do that. And as I was doing that, I think I recognized in myself, and Bethany even called me on it. She said, "Mum," this is one of the last things she said to me. She said, "Mum," she knew some family members who were really struggling with the loss of my brother at that stage. That was sort of 10 years earlier. And she said, "Mum, I don't want you to lose your faith over this. I really don't, Mum. Please don't lose your faith over this, because you're going to need God, and I'll be with Him. That's where I'll be."
Mm.
And so that caution, you know, really went quite deep. I thought, I've got the propensity here, like anyone, to actually have a bitter heart toward God for allowing some suffering to come that I never wanted and that's been excruciating.
Yeah.
But instead, I was directed to really look at the cross of Jesus and to realize, not for the first time in my life, but in a deeper way, just the suffering that He came and entered into for us.
Yeah.
That's where I could start to get some healing about God has goodness and a good plan somehow in this excruciating pain.
Yeah. Mm. Do you see what that plan is, or is that a plan that you don't think you'll ever actually fully understand, perhaps in this side of eternity?
Yeah, I'm getting little glimpses.
Yep.
You know, you mentioned before how Bethany's life's impacted people around the world. That's through CBM and the partnership. I know that that your station has had a great impact on as well. In fact, it was listening to this station that I connected with CBM.
Mm.
So there's a real, I can look back and see some weaving together of some things, because that has helped Bethany some of her dreams to come true.
Yes.
Helping women overcome obstetric fistula,
yeah,
you know, with the help of CBM and people's blindness restored and things like that. So amazing. But does that sort of make up for it? Not really.
No.
You know, it's... And I can see that other people's faith may have been encouraged in their own cancer journey or through their bereavement, and that's terrific. They're just little glimpses of what God might have in mind. But I have a feeling that all that's going to be revealed when I'm with Bethany and with the Lord, like a father wants to give his and parents want to give their children gifts, and rather than sending them by post, I think they want to, you all sit around together and open up and see the joy on the faces and say, this is the gift I have for you.
Yeah.
There's something deeper and richer and bigger than I can ever imagine, really.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful for little glimpses.
Yeah. Lynn Wake is my guest. She's the author of this 52-week devotional journal called Waiting Well with Jesus, as it deals with grief and loss. And we're going to talk about some of the stories in that. We're going to talk about the value of journaling and part of Lynn's journey in that way that can hopefully help all of us as we head towards a better understanding of what it means as we deal with grief or loss in our life. That's on the way next here on Towards Understanding. From station sponsor Leprosy Mission Australia, Dr. Greg Clark joins me. Greg, I want to know, is leprosy still a thing in our world?
Hi, Clayton. Yes, it is still a thing, and that's the question we get asked every time we talk about our work. In Australia, leprosy was eliminated 50 years ago, but our job is to make sure the rest of the world has the same experience.
Are we close to actually getting rid of leprosy?
We really are. In fact, it will be eliminated in our lifetime, and that's amazing when you think it's one of the world's oldest diseases, 4,000 years old. We know how to detect it. We've got drugs to treat it. We've got drugs to stop you from getting it. And we've even got work on a vaccine. So it's pretty much a golden age. The light is there at the end of the tunnel. We're nearly there.
And so the work of Leprosy Mission, what are you actually doing? Is it all of those things you just mentioned?
We work in hospitals. We pay for orthotic limbs. We look at detection programs in schools, hygiene programs, working across all the needs of people who are affected by leprosy, and also working against their discrimination in many societies where they are still ostracized.
So we can give to help the work of Leprosy Mission. How can people do that?
Come and visit us at leprosymission.org.au. That's our 150th year, so there's plenty of special events and activities. We'd love your support, and in fact, you'll meet the armadillo, who's our little partner in our 150th year. Come and buy an armadillo t-shirt. We'd love your support.
leprosymission.org.au. 1-800 Leprosy to change this world. From station sponsor Leprosy Mission Australia, Dr. Greg Clark, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Clayton.
The positive vibe that everyone gives, and doesn't matter when.
Hope.
It's time for Christian Jobs Australia Jobs of the Week. There are fantastic jobs right now in Christian schools across Australia, including teaching, admin, finance, chaplaincy, and many more. If you're looking for a rewarding and exciting school or teaching job that shares your values, you can apply today at christianjobs.com.au. Or tell a friend who you think would be perfect for the job. You can apply for or view many more jobs at station sponsor christianjobs.com.au or on the Christian Jobs app.
Every relationship deserves the best support. Station sponsor Catholic Care Sydney offers pre-marriage education and relationship enrichment for couples paving the way for a happy future. Marriage and relationship education services help you build a strong foundation for a lifetime of love, whether you're newly engaged or married for years. Catholic Care expert interdenominational facilitators will offer you guidance tailored to your relationship. For more information, search for marriage at catholiccare.org.
Hope 1032.
We're paper planes in the sky, drifting where the wind blows. Yeah, gravity held me tight, but with you I can let go.
Shining bright when I'm with you.
Hope 103.2.
This is Towards Understanding. You're with Clayton Bjellin. We're talking about grief and loss today, and how do we walk through that? The heart and the idea is not to have answers for this, but to provide invitation to do that and to provide some helps along the way. The author of this book, Waiting Well with Jesus, it's actually a 52-week devotional journal. Linda Wake joins us, and in case you've just joined us in the last couple of months, we've been chatting to Linda a little while earlier, but I know her by Lynn, so I can't, I just have to call her Lynn. It's too hard to say Linda the whole time. But Lynn, let's talk a little bit about this. It's 52 weeks, mm-hmm. so it's obviously sort of this idea of once a week you can reflect, you can sit mm-hmm. with that as well. Mm-hmm. And you focus each week on a different sort of topic mm-hmm. of what it might mean to be around grief mm-hmm. or around loss in something. Mm-hmm. You know, how do I embrace this part, or how do I, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And in that also, you share other people's stories. It's not just right. your story and your story mm-hmm. around the loss of Bethany, your daughter, but it's others as well. Mm-hmm. This is probably a very unfair question, but is there a couple of favourites that you like talking about or that you would like to share with us? I'm sure you say everyone. We're all of them, but is there a couple specifically you're like, oh, I really enjoyed writing about this topic mm-hmm. or sharing this story?
Sure. Well, just to go back a little, the topics are actually verbs. They're things that we're invited to do nice. While we're waiting. And that came out of that scream to God after, you know, Bethany passed away. What am I supposed to do now? And that sense of, okay, actually what we're asked to do has been laid out for us in the Bible, in the scriptures. So I thought I wanted to examine that and find out. So I started to make a list of all the verbs right. of things that we are invited to do, some of them actually commanded to do, while we're waiting yes. for Jesus to come and fulfill his promise.
Yeah, nice. And that waiting could be a promise that is sort of here on earth, or it could be in the after this life. That's sort of the idea of what you mean by waiting.
Yeah, I think the waiting really is that there's actually a sort of an underlying theme right throughout it, and that is that we're all waiting. You know, for something to be made right, we're all waiting for our story to be redeemed, basically, for the scriptural promises that Jesus will come and make all things new. That's his promise. And I think when we hit a personal tragedy like this, I think when life's going along quite smoothly, we might not even realise we're waiting. We might realise we're waiting in the queue for something, or waiting at a surgery or whatever. We don't like waiting, do we? But we're actually waiting when the whole world is kind of groaning, the Bible says, for things to be made right and new. And when you hit that personal tragedy, that suddenly the wait becomes real. And say, I'm waiting. And I've discovered that God's waiting with us, you know, also to come at the right time and make everything right in our stories. So these verbs are the things we're asked to do. And I think what appealed to me about just the 1 week and doing one thing, it's like doing one thing a week, you mm-hmm. know, when your whole world is just sort of, you're disorientated. And lots of people might be giving you good advice as well. And just one thing that you can choose to say, okay, this is something I'm going to be able to do this week, something positive, something that's going to build up my own life and other people's lives as well, something that is going to help. And there's a whole range of those, you know, words in there, from the to heal and to grieve. And you asked me for a couple of favourites. Well, I think when I was writing them, I can't get past the chapter love, which is something we're all called to do. But it made me examine, you know, what real love is and that kind of thing. You know, I saw that the sacrificial love, for instance, that my husband David gave to Bethany as she was dying, he became like her primary healthcare, you know, giver, and was able to, you know, physically lift her and do the things. And that was a huge example of love to me, you know, that although he couldn't rescue her from death, he was able to minister to her and bless her right through that time and to love her. That's all he could do at the end. He could love her. Mm. So that was one that, is special to my heart, because it's my husband David's story about how we could love his daughter through that. I think once the book's been published just in April this year, and the very first chapter I opened up when I saw that a dream had come true, you know, that there's a resource now to help other bereaved people, the one that kind of has captured me is the chapter called Entrust. And I think that's because I've got to continue to entrust not only my own life but now this resource and how it will be used around the world. And that chapter, the story in that is a dear one to us as well, where we have some precious friends who've lost their son to a lifestyle that's really harming him. And they're just waiting for him to return. So theirs is very much a story of waiting for to see, you know, and they're choosing to trust God in that wait that could also take, you know, many years to see how that story can be redeemed.
Yeah.
So they're redemption stories right the way through. And some of the stories there's been, like we said before, glimpses of the redemption, how things are going to turn out, and others, they're still really in that sense of waiting and don't know how it's going to turn out, and it's very painful in the wait.
Yeah. Mm. Part of what you've done is you've collected others' stories, as you just mentioned there, for each of those words, those actions, those ideas that we're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, you know, 50-plus stories of others in there as well.
That's right.
Does grief and loss tend to collect other stories well, and the value of that? My sense is that there can be times when that is unhelpful, and there can be times where that perhaps is highly helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the case for you? You know, were these people who just came into your world and you discovered, or did you go and search? And I suppose the value of having those around who are of similar loss, or is that a hindrance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is very important, I think, to have some examples, whether they're people in person. So some of the stories in the book are biographies and stories I've read that inspired me, and I've, you know, summarised their story in this devotional. Others, there's a few from the Bible who also had to wait a long time, but many of them, at least half, are people I've known personally and have kind of been observing their life, you know. So one couple, for instance, who lost their child over 20 years ago and took his own life. And I met this couple just 18 months after Bethany passed away, and they are a couple full of joy, loving their other 9 children.
Wow.
They had 10 children altogether. And they just totally inspired me. And I thought, what is their secret? You know, how can they live? They're still lamenting their son. It's not like they've forgotten him or pretending all that pain didn't happen, but they're still able to go on and live abundantly, fruitfully. And so I began, you know, had a radar up, I suppose, you know, looking for people I thought were really grieving in a healthy way, in a realistic way, in a way that didn't... I think I draw out a little bit in the devotional that, from my observation anyway, I see that there's a temptation to go to two extremes. One is to just bury the grief, pretend things didn't happen, not face it, put it under the, you know, under the carpet, whatever it is, that, and try and keep busy or just ignore it. That doesn't work for very long. It eventually catches up with you. Another extreme I've seen, perhaps even with the loss of children, I've seen another extreme I call almost an idolization of grief, that grief becomes their whole identity, the whole of life, that and other areas of life then have been neglected or, you know, if it's caused harm to other members of the family. So I saw some of that, perhaps a bit of a toxic way to grieve on both extremes. And so I've just sought to... there's got to be a healthy way to grieve. And I really do have come to the conclusion that Christians, but those with a Christian faith, a true hope in Christ, can actually be the healthiest grievers on the planet, because we don't have to ignore grief. We can just admit this is actually dreadful and it's horrible. It shouldn't have happened, and it's not fair. It's not right. We can say all those things, but we don't have to live in that space. We can also say, but there is hope, and there is a promise that we can cling to, and there is a future.
Yeah.
And this story is not the end of the story.
Yeah.
Mm.
A lot of your stories, well, all the stories in the book, and also part of where your story is coming from is from a position of having to have gone through grief or loss.
Mm-hmm.
How much value do you think there is in us talking about it, having discussions about it before we have grief or loss? Mm-hmm. And can you actually have that conversation really? Mm. Or is it always lip service until you go through it?
Well, I think because this devotional book in particular has 52 different types of, well, yeah, lots of different stories with different types of losses. Mm. There are losses of homes and loss of income and loss of freedom and loss of marriages and loss of relationships, loss of reputations, loss of, you know, things that, again, not necessarily on a scale, but I think all of life we're losing things all the time. And as the older we get, we're going to continue to lose things in this life. Precious things, you know, to us. So I don't think it's too early to begin to talk about these things and to prepare what's going to happen when I lose this. Not dwelling on things in a, you know, negative way, but realistically, I think we can, again, as believers, have a realistic view on this. These parts of our life are temporary, a loss of our career or ability to do this or that. We're human beings. These things are going to, you know, we're going to be detached from them one stage, aren't we? And so I think it is healthy to be able to talk about things realistically and to be able to say, okay, that's actually okay to lament that loss. It's okay to sit with that and say, this is really hurting me and it's okay to be like that and to sit with that. And it's then okay to say, I've lamented that, and now I can have thanksgiving and joy for that I had it, and those two things go together.
Yeah. Lynn, we've chatted about a whole lot of different things here, mm-hmm. and we've sort of covered off on this, but I want to give a moment for you to, as you speak to people that, you know, who are in different places and spaces in their world as well.
Mm-hmm.
As you've sort of summarised this book and someone gets it in their hands and they read it and whatever else it might be, what are you hoping to achieve? what's the hope and the summary for you that you go, oh, I really hope somebody has this or they do this?
Okay. Well, I think as the journey for me in writing this involved a lot of journaling myself and discovering things, and then that grew into that hope that I could, in a sense, be a gentle companion to someone else going through it, you know, whether it, not necessarily in person, but, you know, just through a resource that would be able to share in a, yeah, it is designed to be a gentle, invitational sort of resource, because you don't need anything harsh when you've already gone through trauma. But there is such hope and a draw toward life, even after great loss, that I think we can very easily get drawn into other things that can cause us even more harm. So I wanted to learn, you know, to help grieve in a healthy way, and I hope that in hearing about this resource, either for the listeners themselves, or I think we've all got people in our life too that, you know, the auntie or, you know, the neighbour down the street or going through something pretty traumatic and you don't really know what to say, you know. And I think just to be able to say to somebody, I'm really sorry for what you're going through or what you've been through, and here is something that may help, that would encourage you to be able to grieve in a healthy, whole way.
Lynn, it's wonderful to be able to share some of your story, despite the fact that obviously it's not a story you would have chosen. Thank you also for the heart that you've shown in saying, let's have these conversations, let's share a bit of your heart, and, you know, understand that every time, and I consider that a privileged position on this program, that whenever people share their story and some of that, it costs something each time as well. So thank you for sharing a story of you and Bethany and your family, and thank you for writing this book for so many others. I do hope that God would be doing that work as people pick up the book and read it. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Clayton. Thank you.
Linda Wake. She is the author of this 52-week devotional journey called Waiting Well with Jesus, the Byline Strength for the Journey Through Heartbreak to Hope. This is Towards Understanding.
Hey, it's Laura. This week on Undistracted, author and pastor Max Licato offers a traveler's guide to the end times, talking about their place in Christian theology and what we can really know about what's meant.
We can be excited, too. We can just be good people, because we know everything is going to turn out all right. We have an advantage on the rest of the world. We can be kind to our neighbor. We can love the poor. We can be a source of light. And it doesn't have to be fake. It doesn't have to be forced. It could be heartfelt, because we know that something good is about to happen.
Listen to Undistracted with Laura Bennett wherever you get your podcasts.
The end of an era. After over 60 years selling quality Italian furniture, Brescia Furniture is closing its doors and saying goodbye. A once-in-a-lifetime sale. Everything must go. Leather and fabric lounges, dining suites, bedroom furniture and accessories priced to clear. Your chance to buy unmistakable Italian luxury at the lowest prices. Come in store to Brescia Furniture closing sale now on 119 Cabramatta Road, Cabramatta.
Station sponsor.
Hope 103.2.
Brake lights stuck on the highway. Some guy cuts into my lane. Anger like an explosion. I'm mad and make sure he knows it. But I don't know what he's been through. Family's trying to get to. That's when the spirit inside me reminds me to be kind.
I've met the darkness, been held by the night.
only was there in my arms. I've been with broken, I've stared in her eyes. Emptiness left me this scar, but I heard your voice calling me out of the cold. Now I can live again. I have been chosen to run with the wind. I can go higher. I know I will soar. I'm taller, I'm stronger, I'm better than before. Sky has a sun, 'cause in you I found all that I need. Your touch revived me. It was your love that opened my eyes. Now I can live again. I have been chosen.
Towards Understanding, I'm Clayton Bjellin, and a reminder, if you've just joined the program, you can go and listen to the back catalogue of so many guests. All of them are there wherever you get your podcast, completely free to listen to. You can subscribe and get them free every single week coming to you. A couple of interviews we put out each week, so if you're not listening to the radio program, you can grab them there. Likewise, you can tune into some of those best interviews that we've had over the last little while by checking out Towards Understanding. Wherever you get your podcast, just look up Towards Understanding.
Hope 103.2, with you in the hustle and bustle of life.
Christians in Australia are privileged. We're free to follow our faith. But that's not the case for many around the world. 90,000 Christians are martyred each year because of their faith. Who supports them? Voice of the Martyrs. They bring relief to the persecuted, help the families of martyrs, and supply Bibles and other Christian literature, all to where they are needed most. Station sponsor, Voice of the Martyrs, serving the persecuted church. Pray for them. Visit vom.com.au.
Parenting a child experiencing autism isn't easy. There's the long wait lists, accessibility of services, and high cost of support. And the big questions. Will they become independent? Find a career and meaningful relationships. At Autism 360, our multidisciplinary team of professionals work with you to build capacity for your child and your entire family from a perspective that only comes from lived experience. Check out autism360.com.au, because you were never meant to do this alone. Station sponsor.
Hope 103.2.
I've been running through rain that I thought would never end. Trying to make it on faith in a struggle against the wind. I've seen the dark and the broken places. Oh, but I know in my soul, no matter how bad it gets, I'll be alright. The storm you finally find, where the hurt and the tears and the pain don't fall behind.
Try to keep you close to me, but life got in between. Try to square. Not be in there, but say that I should have been. Hold back the river, let me look in your eyes. Hold back the river so wide. Stop for a minute and see where you hide. Hold back the river, hold back.
let us hold each other.
Lonely water, lonely water, won't you let us wander? Let us hold each other. Hold back the river, let me look in your eyes. Hold back the river so high. Stop for a minute and be by your side. Hold back the river, hold back. Hold back the river, let me look in your eyes. Hold back the river so high. Stop for a minute and be by your side. Hold back the river, oh. Lonely water, lonely water, won't you let us wander? Let us hold each other. Lonely water, lonely water, won't you let us wander? Let us hold each other.
Hope 103.2.
Towards Understanding with Clayton Bielan.
Towards Understanding, g'day, I'm Clayton Bielan. Great to have your company. And we're going to be joined by Andrew Tierney and also the other half of Finding Faith. Tim's going to be having a chat with us as well. Now, Andrew gets most of the attention, to be fair, because he's also a part of Human Nature, one of the most successful vocal bands of all time. But he's teaming up with the pastor in his church to say, look, how do we sing? How do we share our faith through music, this incredible skill that he has as well? We're going to be hearing their story on the way in a couple of minutes' time here on Towards Understanding.
Eagle Outdoors, campus specialists, give back to the community through local and international charities and foundations. So choose program sponsor Eagle Outdoors first. Discover Australia in a blue water camper perfect for off-roading with family. For on-road luxury, let the adventure begin in an ultimate camper. No trip is complete without Didgeridoo's quality jackets, insulated bags and more, designed to last a lifetime. See the range at eagleoutdoors.com.au.
Hope 103.2.